Okay, so a little bit of cesium. Don't know what that is. Oh, I seem to have a little bit of that here, a little thermite. Okay, guess
Hey,
a little thorium. Oh,
Jackson,
that's weird. Okay,
are you
great.
still making the cake for the party, right?
Yeah, you know what was annoying is that like most of what the ingredients here that I found online like were not available in a normal store. I had to like go online to find these and express prime them.
Oh, was it like, what kind of cake are you making? Is it like super fancy?
Well, okay, I was looking up a birthday cake, you know, the birthday cake type, the vanilla, you know, that's a good one. But yeah, I don't know. It's like this needs like a lot of thermite, thorium, some beryllium. Doesn't make much sense
Wait,
here.
that's radioactive.
What? Of really? Oh shit. I already put this in the oven. Welcome to Homegrown Horror, a main spooky podcast about main spooky things.
Yeah, we talk about true crime, cryptids, things that go bump in the night, historical events, and today,
Nazis.
great.
A Nazi. Just one Nazi is featured in this
A single
episode.
Nazi.
One Nazi, one too many Nazis, honestly.
You know what? Yes. Good point. That's if you that's the takeaway.
That is the takeaway. Yeah, hey B, how's it going? You're closed up with your show, so this is quite exciting. You got that post show exhaustion to you.
Yeah, it was a good show. We watched it. The first night was a little rocky because the theater that they're in, the band couldn't hear the actors.
Oh no. That's really bad.
But
That's
they did their
hard.
best. I guess it got better because I didn't get to see the last two shows.
Impressive that they had an
Oh
actual
well.
band also, gotta say, because I don't know like when it co were you upset by the way I have this backwards?
No.
Okay. I'll put it forward.
No, that's
And anyway, so I'm saying I'm surprised there's a band because I'd assume this was a smaller production. In my head, I was assuming it was smaller, kind of like the last one you did.
There was a band for
There
that.
was a band for that?
Yeah, it was in the back.
I didn't even see them.
I have never seen a musical.
Oh, I have.
I have never seen a musical outside of like high school or middle school that did not have a band.
I'd always assumed like community theater, they don't get a band.
No, they get a band. Even like a community, like I did Godspell at one of the community theaters and we had a band. It
Well,
was a small
a
band.
bunch of highfalutin community theaters over here. You know, the community theaters I was coming from, they would have a little track
Have the
that
backing track?
everybody would
Oh my
sing off
God.
key with, and everyone loved it. That's the
Okay.
community theater
But
I'm used to.
yeah, I've never, outside of like educational theater, I've never not had a band.
That's impressive. Well, actually, there was a community theater group I remember that met in a really old theater. And they would have like some off-Broadway stuff come because it was that big of a venue. But they even had like an old organ, like a huge old organ in it. So
Oh, that's like the place,
they'd always
the
get the organ
Meeting
involved.
House Arts in Freeport has a big organ, and we
Nice.
used it in one of the, or like kind of tried to like incorporate it for one of the shows. But yeah, the show was good. Allegra and I very much enjoyed it. The theater was very hot, but we had a pretty good turnout, especially for a show called The Christmas Bride in
In the
July.
middle of
But it was
July.
great. The costume, everybody looked great. It was less costumes and more like styling, but I did do quite a bit of work on it. In terms of, there was one vest that I pretty much had to remake half of it. So, Yeah, it went well, and I'm just trying, I'm reeling from it and just trying to settle back into not busy life.
Well, hopefully, yeah, you find some time for you. But
I'm working on it, playing Honkai Star Rail and You Got Me Street Fighter, so breaking into those.
Yes, yes.
Doing nothing but video games.
We should play a
and eating Taco
Street
Bell.
Fighter Land. Eating Taco Bell. Yeah, because Allegra's off at a retreat this weekend, yep. So you kind of have the place to yourself.
You're, a bachelor's feast.
A bachelor's
is
feast.
What I called it. How are you doing?
Just fantastic, dude. Still same old, nothing really. I feel like it just work. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes you just feel like that's all you do and you kind of hang out. But anyway.
Oh, I did also wanted to, it's not a corrections corner, but it is a Brittany was correct corner.
Oh my God.
So I ended up
Brittany's
cutting.
Gloating corner.
No, I ended up cutting out a section of the last episode for total transparency where I was like, I couldn't find the section in the article that said that they were buried in a mass grave. I did find it. I was just looking in the wrong section. So yes, the people were killed in that battle near Massacre Pond, they were buried in a mass grave.
Okay.
That was correct. I just wanted everybody to know that I did find it because I know I was like, it says somewhere in here. It is there. So if you go into that article, that the one that's from the Historical Society, it is there.
Did they say they had dug them up also?
No,
did
they
you
did
hear
not.
Any mention of that?
Nope, no mention of that. They said, well, it was. They said, like, they were probably buried in a mass grave.
Probably.
Based on what the custom of the time.
Sounds like a metal detectorist's dream.
Dream?
Yeah. Find some old bullets.
I
little
think
sabers,
so.
Maybe. Buckles.
Or, like, Jeff found musket balls.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's true.
I still really want to see the musket balls.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But anyway, how do I segue into this?
You can't segue into a Nazi.
You don't.
Well, you know, actually, you know what? There are some things that are better off left in history, including Nazis.
Now it's time for our story today. We're going to be talking about the... I don't know if I call this a murder. I guess it's technically a murder.
If somebody gets killed by someone else, well, you could say it's homicide.
Homicide. Homicide is the most like specific thing I think I could think of. We're going to talk about the homicide of James Cummings. So we're going to start from a little beginning. But actually, this takes place in Belfast, Maine.
No, my brain is just like, not to be confused with Jim Cummings, the voice of Pooh Bear.
Oh, bother.
okay, I'm buckled in.
You're buckled in. You're ready to go. Okay.
Right.
So, Belfast, Maine. You know it. You've been there. You love it.
I've not been there.
I've not been there either. I just know it is sort of like, it's just another town.
Belfast of the Belfast Operation fame.
There we go. Of the Belfast Operation fame. Just a regular old town. Nothing. I don't really want to get into history of it today because I don't really think that's relevant because the town will play some role. But as far as like the events getting up to it, you know, small town, lovely people for the most part, except for that one Nazi. Amber Cummings and James Cummings were married for about 10 years before the fateful events of 2008. They're both from California. And at the time, Amber described James as a kind person, you know, pretty chill, okay, you know. So kind that they ended up getting married when she was 19 and he was about 18.
So okay, that's better than where I thought that was going.
Yeah. Pretty quickly around 1999, they had their daughter, Clara. But not only was James kind, it seemed, he was also loaded. The dude had a trust fund that was set up by his late father, who was a landlord in Northern California, Fort Bragg, who, interestingly enough, was shot to death by a disgruntled employee.
Fuck.
Oh,
that was loud. Fuck.
So I guess you could call... this is a little bit about family tradition, I think.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So they ended up around, 1999, they had their kid. But then even later in 2001, James forced Amber to get an abortion with another pregnancy because he had this belief that this child would grow up to hurt him in some way.
I don't like that.
Don't like that. You're going to find out this guy's not very nice. You're going to find out James isn't a very nice
guy. So what you're telling me is...
Wasn't a nice guy.
So she's saying he's nice because she's been abused so much is what you're saying.
I think that, yep, there's a bit of grooming into the wife role, I would assume. But there is a huge history throughout this entire marriage of gaslighting, physical and verbal abuse, marital rape, just all around shittery, and also brainwashing. The guy was very into Adolf Hitler. Have you heard of him?
No, I've never heard of that motherfucker.
He was not a good guy.
No, so nice.
Oh, I got a Norm Macdonald joke for this one. You know what the worst thing about Hitler was?
He was bad at art.
The hypocrisy.
Oh.
It's funny because you know, he did a lot worse things.
No, I know.
Okay.
I get it.
I love Norm Macdonald jokes. They're so fucking stupid. Oh, what a king. What a king. Miss him. Rest in peace. Rest in power. Not Norm Macdonald, not Hitler.
Thank you for... I knew what you meant, but thank you for clarifying.
Where am I? So yeah, he like wasn't a nice guy. Yeah, in 2001, threatened, told her, get an abortion or I'm going to cut the fetus out himself.
Holy fuck.
He was a fucked up dude. So constantly like doing violent outbursts. He was also stockpiling with guns and everything. He was a pretty paranoid dude. I don't know if there's any merit to this, but he got like more angry over time, partly because with the trust that he had, by the way, with the trust, this guy was making $10 million a year.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre-tax?
I don't know. I didn't get that.
Doesn't fucking matter.
$10 million. I mean, exactly. Shit. Yeah. It's like, well, okay. If I get taxed $10 million a year, what am I taking home? What? $7 million maybe?
Oh, so sad.
Jesus. Oh my gosh. I was reading about like some divorce that was happening recently. I'm not going to give the details, but it was between some rich folks. Mm. And one of the lady was saying that she wanted to get her alimony increased to $5 million a year. Cuz it was like that would be just enough. It's like, "Oh yeah, just enough." Anyway,
what?
So talking to anyway, yeah, no, it's just a funny thing that I heard. So, guy's making $10 million a year, but there's not as much money coming in over the consecutive years.
Okay.
He starts thinking that the trustees that are managing his funds are mismanaging it, so he ends up suing them. Then he ends up taking a mobile home, puts his whole family in it, and ends up just traveling across the country for years. So this would have been around 2004 that they ended up heading off.
I mean, that sounds nice in theory.
Nice in theory if you weren't, like, trapped inside an RV with a scumbag.
Yeah.
That's the big problem.
Yeah. It's a very controlling. It's like, you don't have a home. You don't have people to go to. You have no opportunity to build community. It's you and him and your child. On the road, he could leave you somewhere.
Yeah.
Hang you out to dry.
Exactly. And he was like tight-fisted, not allowing any communication with family back in California for Amber. It was a real shitty time.
Fuck him.
Amber did request finally to live somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, James wasn't very keen on being around people. He didn't like really anybody. He was a very angry person. But he did settle for Maine. As a location, you know, it being a pretty isolated place, at least in theory, and easy to just kind of like disappear, I suppose.
Them being together when they're so young, there's a part of me that is just like, was he always like this? Or did, because you said he grew more angry over time. So I'm wondering, like, just what the fuck triggered this guy? Like, was he always abusive? I know we probably don't know that.
I would assume that he was.
Yeah.
And I assume that's controlling behavior always there. But I mean, there is that.
It's progressively classic, getting worse.
It's the classic pattern of abuse that is like escalation over time.
Yeah.
It's like they start with like vicious verbal abuse, then leads to physical, and then worse and worse and worse. This is, you know, fun things we talk about on the show.
So he doesn't like anybody.
He hates everybody, but mostly Jewish people and people of color. So, fun times.
Remember, Nazi.
Nazi. Big old Nazi. They ended up buying a home from a foreclosure auction in the Belfast community, which Ember spent much of her time remodeling under James' very specific instructions. The home life of Ember and her daughter were very tightly orchestrated by this small, deceitful, abusive, weak, insignificant, miserly dipshit. And as we said before, he was very physically abusive, verbally abusive throughout all the years of marriage. He was also conditioning both Amber and Clara to believe in a world that is only for white men and that women are meant to serve.
No.
James also loved child pornography. And had a whole bunch on his computer. Sometimes he would make Amber watch with him.
No!
And talk about his interest in prepubescent girls.
No!
This behavior was more manifesting in itself in the later years of the marriage. But it was very disturbing, as you would imagine. James would also encourage Amber to get on internet chat rooms to try to lure girls to Maine.
No.
No, indeed. Very big nose. Big nose all around. This is not fun.
Oh.
James would also teach their daughter hate and racism and further condition his daughter to be an obedient woman.
Oh, no.
Amber and Clara were isolated from other family, and much of their time was spent alone in the home with James. Yeah. The home wasn't really cozy either.
No.
It was pretty much decorated with Nazi memorabilia, like weird shit, like a walking stick with swastikas on it, a sword.
So he's not well. No.
He's not well. I don't think anybody that's a Nazi is mentally well.
No.
I also think a lot of folks, they get sucked up into this. I like to believe that it comes from a place of just ignorance.
Ignorance and fear.
Ignorance and fear. Because they have no control over their lives, so they try to find something to lash out at.
Yep.
So they decide, oh, it must be the Jews.
That's what we hope.
That's what we hope. Some people are just evil.
And hateful.
Yeah. Unfortunately. This home was really fucked, man. They also had separate bedrooms. James, Amber, and the daughter all had different rooms. The nicest, of course, belonged to James, whose room was most spacious and had nicer clothes and a deeper closet and some decoration, versus Amber and the daughter's, which were devoid of really anything. Very small space, and very little clothes. James even had his own living room, which included furniture and a flat-screen TV, while Amber and the daughter kind of had their own space with not much to it.
This is crazy.
This is crazy, yeah. This is like kind of like prepper also. He was like loading the house up with guns and other crazy material that we're getting into pretty quickly here.
Oh no, okay.
Dude was ramping up to be a terrorist. He spent a lot of his time talking about going to war, and talking about killing the president. I guess he was just kind of against everything, you know? It was just like violence.
When did he say the killing the president part?
I don't remember when he started talking about it. It must have been around the time that they were settling up in the home. So if he was very specifically focused on Obama. If he was talking about killing the president, then he must have been focused on doing this. It would have been 2008, and then the election would have happened, and then the inauguration would be a little bit later. So I'm assuming there was a gap period of, like, the election. Yeah, actually, that makes sense. Because this would be in December of 2008.
Okay.
So this would be in the middle. This would be past the election.
Okay, so...
And before the inauguration.
Got it.
Yeah.
So... Because that's what I was thinking, but I was trying to put it in place, because I know you said 2008, and I know that's when Obama... That's Obama's first term being elected.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to...
Make sure.
I just wanted to get a full picture.
Yeah. So he was very much planning. He was obsessed with actually killing Obama. Loading up on guns. He was also, he had plans to build a dirty bomb with radioactive materials and other explosives that he had obtained online.
Fucking why?
And he was going to detonate the bombs at Obama's inauguration.
Great.
Amber was not mentally doing well for most of these years, as you would imagine.
Yeah, deteriorating.
Yeah. She ended up wandering into lots of suicidal ideation. Mm-hmm. Because it was mentioned before by, like, the judge and prosecutors, the defense, not the prosecutor. I had some issues with the prosecutor. But they would end up thinking a little bit more through, like, what leads a person to this path. Mm-hmm. And when you're stuck in this cycle of abuse, it's very hard to see what your path to freedom is.
I have a sneaking suspicion, because you were saying, like, I have an issue with the prosecution, and I'm like, oh boy, I'm coming up with all of these arguments that they could make against her. You know, seeing as her husband is fucking loaded.
Luckily, we'll get into it. I think it's a shitty, stupid little reason, and I'm glad the judge ruled the way it did. But anyway, she was starting to worry about James potentially going after their daughter because of also this talk about...
Yes.
I
too.
There was a lot of fear there.
I too would be concerned about that.
Fair concern. Yeah. On the morning of December 9th, 2008... Amber was getting ready for the day, and she was in her bedroom and started thinking about killing herself. And by the way, I forgot to mention this. Both James and Amber sleep with loaded guns under their pillows. This guy was fully prepared for, like, something to happen. His paranoia was. So anyway, she took her Colt 45... and began to think about shooting herself, and she put the gun into her mouth. I'm sorry about this. When she heard James stirring in his bedroom, instantly, she turned the gun from her mouth and went into James' bedroom and shot him twice in the head. Reason for two shots was once to kill him and another to make sure he didn't suffer pain. Amber ended up turning herself in.
You got something.
Yeah.
Just the fact that she, like, that she still was like, he has abused me, he has hurt me, he has pushed me to the point where I no longer want to live, but I don't want him to feel any pain. Says a lot about her as a person.
Yeah, I think she's definitely the nicer person. People that talk to her would describe her as very innocent and, like, just generally nice and, like, not wanting to hurt anybody.
People can get married whenever they want, but, like, you get married at 19, you don't know who you are. You haven't experienced a lot of stuff in the world. And then especially when the person you marry ends up being abusive and ends up basically cloistering you away, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the innocent naive, however you want to put it, like, that tracks.
Yeah, it really does.
Okay.
So Amber ended up turning herself into the county police, and she was finally able to connect with family, and she was able to post the $50,000 bail to get out.
Yeah.
And she immediately started trying to undo the years of damage put on her daughter.
That's going to be rough.
She was entirely convinced that she was going to go to prison.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, before the trial, she was just trying to work as fast as possible to turn her daughter into a loving and caring and accepting person. Luckily, she didn't need to work so fast, because on the day of her sentencing, even though the state attorney was advocating for time in jail, the person, the prosecutor, was saying that she needs to at least spend some time behind bars, because she thought having a person just take the situation into their own hands is a bad precedent.
That's fair.
But
yeah.
The judge was saying, you can't just isolate this to the single situation of the shooting.
Yeah.
We need to think about all circumstances at play, the psychological harm that Amber had experienced over years, this belief that there is no other options available to her because of this isolation, and outward concern for the safety of herself and her daughter. She acted in a way that might not be seen as like the best way to go about it, but within the situation and the psychological and physical abuse experienced, it was basically saying, like, we understand why you did it.
Yeah, when you have a husband who is planning to bomb the president,
yeah,
and you it has like sleeps with a loaded gun,
mm-hmm.
I like, even if you have your own access to your own gun, I, too, would be scared, because it's like, okay, what if I fuck up? What if I miss? Then I'm fucking toast.
Right? Right?
One wrong move. It's like, you would have to plan out your escape or your whatever so perfectly.
Yeah.
So perfectly. And it's just...
I think of like...
I understand, like, what I said before, I still understand, like, there's a precedent, but... I am pleased with what the judge has said here.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even the kind of like mental health professionals that they had survey Amber and get a better understanding of her, even over time as they kept checking up with her, it's like she still held on to some ideas around how women should be in society that they're working on undoing.
Because how many years? When did they get married?
I mean, they got married around 18, 19, and then they were...
I mean, that works.
Okay, well...
How old was she when this happened?
She was 31, and then he was 29.
12 years.
12 years, yeah.
That is a long time
to especially, be. Like, from the age of 19, it's like you're used to just living with your parents. And I think it's hard to kind of move yourself from a situation where it's like, I have to do what someone says, to then go into a marriage that's very dominating. And then you just kind of fall into that pattern of just doing whatever the other says.
Yes.
And like, yeah.
So there was no trial because she's not...
Well, there was a trial, you know. She pled guilty.
Yeah. So it's not like there's a long... It's not like a long process. Because you skipped right to the sentencing, so...
I didn't really get... You know, it seemed to move pretty quickly. I think they got everything that they needed out of this. And
yeah, if you are pleading, typically it goes faster.
Right.
The trouble comes when someone says, I'm not...
Yeah.
Pleading in, you know.
And I mean, like, what they handed down was light.
Yeah.
They just gave her 6 years of probation. She has to stay in the state for 6 years. She can ask for permission to leave from her probation officer. So it's like,
I think
it's pretty
fine.
Light.
That's,
yeah.
That seems fine based on the extenuating circumstances of her situation. Like, yeah, people might worry about precedent, but it's not like they aren't giving her anything. Like, she still has, people are keeping tabs on her. They're making sure that this isn't like a on a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. She's not going to go do this to other people. Like, it was, this is the circumstance and this is what I've done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she turned herself in. It's like she's aware that what she did wasn't legal.
Not legal, you know? Correct. And probably not right. But again, extenuating circumstance is.
Yes, exactly. It's like, I mean, we gotta under, exactly. Extenuating circumstances, dealing with this monster day in and day out. And yeah, that very real threat of like, this person's gonna hurt my daughter. And just like, who do you advocate for? Your daughter or the fucking monster that's living in your house, you know?
There, I will have, like, I don't remember. There's so many cases that I don't remember the names of the people involved. But there was a woman who, so her son was sexually assaulted by one of their Christian camp counselors. I believe it was just a camp counselor, but I think he was also involved with the church, considered like a pillar of the community. So she eventually took him to court.
Yeah.
But with everything going on, she ended up, when they walked into court, pulled out a gun and shot him.
Whoa! She went Harvey Dent on his ass.
So, like, and I just think about, like, because I know my dad was always like this. He was just sort of like, with people, like when my sister, because I had Allegra, I didn't really date a lot of men, but his whole thing was always like, you hurt my daughter, you will be in the ground.
Which I think
that's how a lot of parents are, where it's just sort of like, if my child is in danger, if you do something to them, that's it.
Yeah. I don't particularly, but
I think my dad is the type of person where he'd be like, oh yeah, he's buried over there, officer, cuff me. Kind of like this. Oh, but like,
I mean, if anybody hurt my wife,
yeah,
I would probably hurt them severely.
So for me, I'm like, I feel like that is a mostly human response.
I think it's a very human response. And I mean, especially when we're talking about self-defense and self-preservation.
Yeah. And like, the reason she ended up going to jail, because they were like, okay, he was already in court. Like, this was being taken care of. I don't know what her thought process was. I don't know if they thought she thought he was going to get off light or what, but she took it in her own hands. So the situation's a little bit different, obviously. But, yeah, I guess that's all I have to say.
So, but the good news is that, you know, she's got support.
Yeah.
The city of Belfast really came out and helped her.
Good.
There's, like, people with, like, free Amber stickers and all that, like, out and supporting her. So she was able to land on her feet, get a place of her own, get a job.
I'm so glad.
Raise her daughter. Daughter's getting friends, you know. Things are working out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of trauma from that period, but
there's probably a lot of therapy.
You know,
if the state required her to go to counseling or therapy or psychiatrist or anything?
I think there was probably a condition there that was like, yeah, we'll fund your therapy. Because mm-hmm. I think they saw it as a moral obligation at that point, you know? And I feel like that should be a lot of sentencing should have involved like some counseling and support there. Because it's like, you can't just release people and expect, all right, fucking good luck, go to jail, and then we'll see what happens after that. There needs to be a lot more support, I think, for people when they're serving to have access to, like, new skill resources, new opportunities to land on their feet. Because I don't know if you've, for anybody listening from outside of the United States, basically when you become a convict, it's very difficult to do anything after that.
Yep.
To get a job, to get housing, anything. So it's like, this system is so, that we've created is very... And
even for small stuff.
Yeah, even for small stuff. Like, I mean, if you get, is it a misdemeanor? It's like, if you serve any jail time, you can't vote. You lose that privilege or right. shouldn't be a privilege. So
good job. I like that.
Yeah. Anyway, I hate what we've created. I hate our private prison system. I think it's really fed into like how fucked up everything is here. Anyway, we have the highest number of incarcerated inmates across any fucking country. What the fuck?
It's fine.
They're building a prison for you and me to live in. So anyway, she's doing well. She's thriving. Let's talk about some of the crazy shit that they found in the house, though. So, you know what was wild? There was an FBI report that went into what they discovered within the home because that's what it warranted. A search by the FBI because of the crazy shit that was in this house.
Based on what you said, I'm, like, even just a little bit that you've said so far, like, that I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know where he said he was gonna bomb the president, but, like, that feels like a... immediately put on an FBI watch list sort of thing.
Yeah, during the search, here's sort of the crazy shit they found.
Oh, God.
Investigators reportedly discovered instructions for making a dirty bomb. Mm-hmm. A dirty bomb is, like, really, can describe a lot of things. So, it can describe more of, like, you have a radioactive substance, and you're releasing the substance into the atmosphere in some way. That is contaminating it rather than, like, more of an explosion.
That's kind of what I figured.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've heard the term before.
Yeah. So it's like, it's weird. But anyway.
Biological warfare.
Kind of, yeah. You know, it's like if you make everything radioactive, that's not going to be fun.
No.
So they found those instructions along with 4 1-gallon containers filled with a mix of uranium and thorium. He found, he bought some of this online.
Yeah.
Other components he's collected, because you can collect radioactive materials just from shit around you. So there have been instances even before that I found out that were like, yeah, no, there's like neo-Nazis, they're just collecting uranium over time to then, you know, build shit up. So containers also held a highly toxic beryllium powder, a hydrogen peroxide-based solution needed for making peroxide-based explosives, along with lithium metal, thermite, magnesium ribbon, black iron oxide, and other substances that are used to amplify the effects of homemade explosives. They also found documents that were related to a neo-Nazi group. For membership, a membership application filled out by Cummings for this neo-Nazi group. That's what they found.
They have applications?
Apparently. Are you racist enough?
Get the fuck out.
When was your last hate crime? That's weird to think about. Like, do they have finances?
Your hate crime stamp card isn't filled out enough. We must reject your application. Oh, you've never been canceled? You can't hang with us. You're not cool enough. Get out. Fucking applications.
So, there's been, like, recent stuff happening where it's, like, there was, like, the 4 roommates that lived together that were collecting, like, radioactive materials. And then there was another neo-Nazi dumbass that was collecting radioactive materials. No one's actually ever detonated a dirty bomb.
What do they think is going to happen to them if they're just handling these materials?
I don't fucking know.
Like, I'm surprised none of them have melted yet.
So, some more disconcerting news. So I found an article from 2022, so last year, from it was a Washington Post article talking about a Government Accountability Office report. Have you ever heard of the Government Accountability Office? Fucking amazing, like, group.
Yeah.
They're insane. Like, they're full of the...
They're on it.
They're fucking on it. They're full of, like, the most intelligent people that, like, the government can find.
Yeah.
And these guys will go through basically any process procedure that exists across all of government and, like, test it measure it and like figure out other things. So sometimes Congress will like make them do reports, but other times they just fucking do shit on their own and say, hey, this is fucked. You need to fix it.
That's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah. So I love GAO and I love the Congressional Research Office as well. They do both really cool shit.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see like what reports they come out with. They're like always like calling people out. It's pretty funny, but no one really talks about them.
Okay. So they put out a report in 2002.
So,
Not 2022. Too many twos. Not enough twos.
They were finding a report that it was very easy to get radioactive supplies from U.S. vendors. So you need to be able to get a license that distributed from like the Nuclear Research Center or something. Anyway, something like nuclear government program. And GAO was able to purchase supplies twice.
Oh, God.
Within their report, because the licenses to be able to buy radioactive materials are very easy to forge, because these licenses are still made via like paper, making it very easy to alter these licenses. So it ends up being a very problematic issue. The GAO report focused on Category 3 quantity of radioactive material. It is not as dangerous as Categories 1 and 2, which have more stringent security requirements, but 3 is still more hazardous than 4 and 5. So we're talking about this scale of radioactive material. These guys were like, let's go in the middle. 1 and 2 being like, I guess, actual bombs.
You're gonna have to pick these up in person, sir.
Now the government office that's in charge of these licenses said to GAO that this isn't so bad though. The consequences stemming from the detonation of a dirty bomb using Category 3 radioactive materials would be insufficient to require issuing immediately effective orders to verify license by phone, for example. Government Accountability Office disagreed, saying Category 3 materials can actually cause hundreds of deaths from evacuations and billions of dollars of socioeconomic effects. Such socioeconomic effects illustrated by the $156 million cleanup and other costs following a 2019 University of Washington accident.
If I were the president and someone was like, I'm going to use a dirty bomb, and then immediately the government office that issues these licenses was like, that's fine, it won't be bad. I'd be like, I'm sweeping that office.
Yeah.
Cleaning that out.
It's like, you guys got to work on your PR. I feel like, you know, you gotta own your mistakes when it comes to working with the Government Accountability Office, I think.
I can't even imagine that some PR rep got up in the morning and was like, today's a great day to show my ass in front of the Government Accountability Office. Yeah.
I fucking love it. So, yeah, I mean, like, we got more Nazis than ever. I think it's crazy that we have more Nazis now. The number of Nazis seems to be increasing. And I'm curious, what did these fuckers watch growing up? Because all the shit that I watched growing up would always talk about how much, like, Nazis are such losers, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Indiana Jones. That's a great example.
Punching Nazis.
The Blues Brothers.
Punching Nazis.
You gotta punch a Nazi.
It's something's wrong. It's just like, again, like we said, there's something wrong in their brain chemistry, in something is not connecting. The humanity is not connecting
The soul is not functioning.
It's misplaced. Something's wrong.
I
don't understand. Yeah. Like, I understand Because I know that there are so many people who, like, try to come to the defense of, like, historical Nazis and being like, well, they didn't know. They didn't know how bad it was. And I'm like, now in the future, like, the year of our Lord, 2023, we know what they did. We know. And there are still people that are like, sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's like, I'm on board. What?
So I'm like, so now more, like... Now more than ever, it's like you can't go with, oh, well, they don't know what Nazis did. No, we know.
We know what they did. We know
what they did. And there are still people that are like, sign me up.
What's even crazier is then like...
I'm like exasperated right now.
Back into the more like Nazi labels and all that. I think it's crazy right now, like Ukrainian fighters are being labeled as Nazis. And that's all like Russian propaganda. So it's like insane to me. It's like... The literal fascists are calling people defending themselves fascists.
Especially since their fucking leader is a Jew! You... Oh my god!
You're telling me a guy named Zelensky is Jewish?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm telling you. I am... Verklempt. I am exacerbated. I am exasperated. I am upset beyond belief. And it's just like, yeah, because it's like, I think one, especially if you're like in one of these groups too, like I'm white, but I'm queer.
Uh-huh.
My wife is queer and Jewish.
Yeah.
Like if you're disabled, if you're queer, if you're of color, if you are of different faith, just the fact that people want you dead is...
It's crazy. Just for things out of your control.
And I know we talked about mean world syndrome, but like the fear is very real. And again, for the most part, like the intersectedness of these fears, like there are people who are... living in more fear for their lives than I am.
Yeah.
For sure. I do have a lot of privilege. But it's just like, it's not as simple as just like, oh, well, they're harmless. No, they're not harmless. Stop.
They're not harmless, no. And the more you say they're not harmless, you're fucking enabling them.
Yeah, I'm just watching a squirrel out the window, like...
What is he doing?
He jumped from...
Whoa, he's jumping around. I saw him just leap there. Yeah, cool squirrel.
He's up at the top. He's like shaking his little butt, kind of. He's using this fence as a stripper pole.
He's a maniac, maniac.
Sorry, I just needed to lighten that up a little. Holy shit, man.
Well, let's lighten up further with our next mainism.
Oh, we didn't talk really about the prosecution.
Oh, well, what about it?
Oh, you said you didn't like...
Oh, no, we did talk about
it. Oh, we did? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, yeah, she was then... like, they were advocating for, like, some prison time.
Okay, yeah, cut that and skip to the... Let's lighten it up with...
Our next mainism.
Hey, hey, it's a mainism.
So you know more about this than me, I believe.
Yeah, this started with we were at the Fleet Foxes concert, and Emily had said something about, wow, this reminds me of Bill Green's Maine. And it opened up a box inside of my memories, and I was like, wow.
What is Bill Green? So this was like, was this a regional program, or was this a national thing? What was this?
I do not know about the reach. I assume it was just like Maine only, because like Emily and I both had like the childhood where like for a while we only had channels 6, 8, and 13, which were all local. So I can't remember if I want to say Bill Green's Maine was on, maybe it was on CBS, which was channel 6. Okay. Yeah, so, okay, it was on NBC.
It was on NBC nationally?
No.
just like in a regional base.
Yeah.
So this is when like,
and the reason I know that they had
more regional channels kind of doing their own thing. So this was like a local thing.
Yep.
So he'd been doing this for about 15 years, airing on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
Yeah. And I know that because, yeah, because it's on News Center Maine.
Ah, okay. So this is like,
you can tell because seeing right. News Center Maine has the little peacock.
Oh, okay. So gotcha. Interesting.
Which I think would have been 13, actually.
Okay.
I'm because ABC was always Channel 8.
So apparently he was a big like sports guy for a while, mm-hmm. from like 1975 to 1993. And then in 2000 is when he actually launched Bill Green's Maine, which was this variety show that like just, it did about 400 episodes almost. Talking about things like the outdoors, recreational sports, and highlighting topics and individuals from all around the state, including profiles on notable businesses, cultural leaders, and historic landmarks. Apparently, he didn't really like being from Maine for a while, but this forced him to like more into Maine. Damn, dude.
Yeah.
He's got great hair. He's got a great mustache. I want a mustache like that.
Let's see. There's not a whole lot of information about it. Yeah, it says Bill Green shares the personalities and beauties of Maine. But yeah, I remember because I would get up, around like, when I was in middle school, like I would get up around like 6-ish and there would always be I would see commercials for like on this, you know, coming up on Bill Green's Maine this week. I never watched it though, personally, but.
Sounds like he was a pretty cool dude. He did a lot of, he did this for a long while, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice though that he's like celebrating his state. So it's just like an ode to Mainers. Which, so like, Mainers can just be like, yeah, which, check out all the cool things you can do here.
You know, I'm on board. Because like that's my sort of feel about Maine.
Yeah, Maine is like, we're really fortunate to be in this state. There's a lot of great access to outdoor recreation, amazing scenery, like beautiful countryside, a lot of wilderness. But it's really cool to see what you can find. And I mean, it's like full of pockets of like little interesting things. And I mean, come on, the food around here, it's perfect.
So good.
Maine's a fucking great place.
Let me see if I can find just.
He probably did his own like Red's Eats review, I bet.
Let's see. Oh, there's one about Red hot dogs.
Hell yeah. Just about Red hot dogs. I love this. Maybe we'll become the next Bill Green. It might be fair to say we don't know any better. Or it's what we grew up with. But there's no doubt about it. I love this. From Portland to Millinocket, prefer Red Snapper hot dogs. Red Snapper hot dogs.
Red Snapper.
So he's all just about like Maine things, cool Maine topics, history, cool shit you can go do.
Yeah.
I do love a red hot dog. I used to not be into them, but now I'm all about them.
Same. I think since we started this podcast, and I said before, I've always had them boiled.
Yeah.
Nasty. But there's nothing. Now, like, when I was doing the show, when we were in Freeport, because the theater's right across from Lobster Cooker. I love Lobster Cooker.
And you got some red hot dogs there?
Yeah. So what Allegra and I ended up doing, I'm like, let's get they have a basket where, so it's got the fries, it's got two red hot dogs, and then we also got like a chicken basket.
Nice.
So then we each got a hot dog and then we split the chicken.
Nice.
And I was like, it's perfect all around. Good vibes, lots of vinegar on those fries. Just bah, 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 bah.
Hell yeah, dude.
But like, I have accepted the red hot dog.
This is good. I'm glad. I've
accepted it. And also, it's so fun. Because most of my coworkers that I'm training with, they're from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so we were talking about like, it was really funny because Mark was just sort of like, you guys probably don't have Hostess up there.
What?
And I was like, we have Hostess? He's like, oh, then, you know, you probably have Hostess, but not Little Debbie. And I was like,
we have Little Debbies.
What are you talking about? And then he was like, well, just like how, like, you guys don't have Coke, you have Pepsi. And I'm like, we no, have Coke, we you do. And I was like, I understand what you're trying to say. I also understand that some places have regional preferences. Like, I think if you go to most restaurants here, you are more likely to find Pepsi products as opposed to Coke products.
I don't know where he's, like, extrapolating this from.
Because, like, he said down south, like, there are people who, if they go into a restaurant and they're serving Pepsi, they will leave and never come back.
I need my specific brand of sugar water.
But I had said, I was like, oh, I think, it, you know, I get what you're saying, but I feel like a better example would be like how Indiana has Big Red and Maine has Moxie. And everyone was like, what's Moxie? And then the other person who is from Maine was like, and I was like, I love Moxie.
Moxie's good. I like it.
I also like it. Allegra hates it.
It is medicinal tasting.
It is. But I like it. Which is so funny because she's the herbalist. She's like too herby. You
think she'd be into it, yeah.
I'm also really into birch beer,
mm-hmm.
which tastes like Canada mints to me, but...
I don't like birch beer. It's fine. I'll drink it.
I love birch beer.
But I'd rather not. I'd pick a million things over birch beer.
I love birch beer. Well, thank you all for coming along on this fucking awful ride. We're back to just awful topics. If you have...
It was a happy ending.
It was a happy ending. It was a happy ending. If you would like to reach out to us for anything at all, you can reach out to us at...
Not anything. I'm not going to write you a check.
I have no money. I can't do that.
Yeah, no. It's like, I'm not going to be your co-signer in your next car here.
If you have stories, if you have insight to anything we've talked about on the pod, you can reach out to homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or reach out to us on Instagram @homegrownhorrorpod. And you can always drop us some stars and a review on Apple Podcasts. But as always, we are just happy that you're here with us sharing in this.
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 Bye. Bye.